Well, good morning out there in Radio Land. What a day it is to be with you guys on this glorious October 29th, 2025. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that anything can happen because we serve a God of the impossible. Whatever you're facing, whatever situation, whatever you're going through, friend, He is more than enough. He is a mighty, mighty God who is still able to save, deliver, heal, sanctify, and fill with the Holy Ghost. Today is the day that the Lord will show up on your behalf. He may not take you over or under, but I promise you He will take you through. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you, my friend. So today, if you don't know Him, today is the day to know Him. The Bible says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that He is Lord, and you shall be saved. Amen. Well, Miss Hannah, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hope your attitude still has gratitude.
It does. It has extra. I feel I need to turn this up or something. There we go. I have extra gratitude because this movie we watched, it was... It's not necessarily that it was like so theologically preaching at you and explaining things to you, but just the themes that were in there and just seeing somebody go through suffering but still remain so thankful.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole movie I felt like was looking on the glass half full instead of half empty.
Yeah.
It was really good. So
praise the Lord.
So it helped even more. I feel like my glass just keeps getting fuller. It just keeps looking fuller and fuller. So
it's getting gooder and gooder.
But then it starts to get tested and then you're like, oh, man, I could really look at this glass half empty. But no, I'm going to look at it half full.
Hallelujah.
That's how it works.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, it is a good day. It's a good day to be alive. Good day to be vertical. It's a good day to be in the presence of the Lord today.
And we do today. We get to see the one and only guy with the way with words. He has a way with words. Pastor Darren.
Pastor Darren's coming in today.
He's going to be with us.
Oh, the one and only. How about that? I always love Pastor Darren. He kind of frustrates me every once in a while. I'll try to say something for 3 years, and he says it in 2 seconds. I said, I don't know how
it's
you do
talent.
It, sir. I don't know how you do it, but it's good. All right. Well, Hannah, I'm gonna throw a shocker on you.
Okay.
I want you to find a proverb of the day real quick.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to leave it up to you. I'm going to let you do the proverb of the day. You go to your favorite bonfire. Proverb. Get ready to. All right. So let me go to my announcements. Hannah's going to do our proverb of the day here in a minute. But here we go. Tonight, we're supposed to do a hayride and a bonfire. As you can tell, the weather is not our best friend, but we're still going to meet. And so come on out. If you got nothing to do tonight, we're still just going to have a night of fellowship and fun and activities. We're going to be doing bunco on one building, and then we're going to be doing volleyball in the gym, and we still got some food going to be served about at 5:30, 6 o'clock we're going to eat, and we're just going to have a lot of fun tonight. Just a nice night to relax and fellowship, and who knows, all of us need that every once in a while, just to take a deep breath, to enjoy the fellowship, to enjoy each other, and to really pursue farther into the kingdom of God and with each other as we grow together. Amen. Fellowship is incredibly important, and I agree with that 100%, and we are excited to be able to fellowship tonight. So come on out, be with us still. It's going to be a lot of fun. Again, volleyball and bunco, so you got your choice. We're going to be doing bunco and volleyball, and that's going to be a great night tonight. And then, ladies, make sure you put on your calendar November the 14th. We have Miss Renee Alderman's going to be speaking here at our Bethel Ladies Meeting. That will actually also be coinciding with the first home basketball game here too. And so we've got we have the ladies meeting and the first basketball game
all in one
all night. And so I'll be running back and forth. I'll be running from drums to, I can't wait. I get to this year. We're going to stick. I did this last year during the tournament, and all the kids loved it, and a lot of people liked it. So they asked, me and Jason was talking about doing it again yesterday, and so we're fully planning to do it. I'll be announcing the home games still. You know how we did that last year? And mm-hmm. everybody's like, we like that. And so, you know, I kind of enjoyed it too. I didn't do like commentary, but it was like, it'd be cool. Me and Ethan always played around with commentary. but this was more just like, you know, we have one kid named Isaiah with the three. All right. Or, you know, we did it for both teams. And people really enjoyed it because they could actually kind of hear what was going on or uh-huh. rebound here. I don't do a full commentary, but I'm excited about that. It's a lot of fun. We'll probably do the varsity game. And so we're excited for that too. So it's going to be a great night.
Amen.
November 14th. It's going to be a lot of things 14th. Going
on. So what's the third thing going on? There's the ladies meeting in the basketball. Is there a third thing?
I don't hope not.
Okay. I thought you said
I'm excited just because I get to go back and forth. and I don't have to eat soups and salads. I can eat nachos. I actually probably can, but it's kind of not
shouldn't, but might.
Who yeah. knows? It's a treat.
Well, right. I picked Proverbs. I was going to do, so two of us, me and Miss Brenda Sims, on the Facebook poll, we put the same favorite proverb of the day, or favorite proverb, in Proverbs 3, but I'm going to do the next verse. So our favorite is Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, which is trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him. He'll make straight your path. That's our favorite. But I'm going to do for today's verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones.
Yep. You know, let's see. I think it was last Thursday you were not able to be with us. And that's the one I used.
Really?
Yeah.
7?
The same one. And I even said the same words, like we always quote 5 and 6, but I said 7's where it's at. So
we're making a right back around.
Great minds think alike. All right.
I almost went to the next one though, because the first fruits, because it reminded me of Miss Crystal's the morning we talked about the first fruits. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce, and then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
A lot of people were interested about the first fruits teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Alrighty. Well, we are getting ready to go back into Jude. We are in Jude. We're going to finish Jude today. I'm determined. And then
Hosea.
I guess we'll start Hosea tomorrow. And you'll be running with it next week. I won't be able to be with everybody next week. And Hannah's going to be leading the charge all week. And she's going to have to produce and host just like I do. her face got real big. Like she goes, I don't know about that.
I think I could.
If emergency comes up. Yeah, but I won't be here next week. But Hannah will be here and we'll have a full range. We'll have a lot of the regular co-hosts and everybody be there. And it's going to be a great week. And so I know she'll do a great job leading the charge in the main hosting position. And so you got Hosea next year,
Hosea.
Next week.
Next year. Hey, we're getting close to next year.
We are right around the corner. Thanksgiving is upon us. And I still, like, I've always loved Thanksgiving. Like, I still do. Like, don't get me wrong. I still love Thanksgiving. But this year, I'm just so looking forward to Christmas. I don't know what it is. I'm just really excited for Christmas.
Maybe there's something awesome. Maybe Jesus is coming back at Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, I've already got an early Christmas present, you know, with little Liam. But it is still just, I don't know. I'm just so excited for Christmas. I think it's because last year we were so busy we didn't really get to do Christmas. Like, it was just like, it was almost an afterthought because of how busy we were. And this year we're intentionally going to slow down a little bit to enjoy family and
family
enjoy
time.
Christmas a little bit more. I mean, last year it was like the week before Christmas and we just put up our tree. Like, it was that. Like, it wasn't that. Like, we were just getting stuff ready. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of, like, because of our schedules and we was just so busy that time of the year. This year we're not letting ourselves do that. And we're gonna enjoy the season with family and kids. And
so trees going up November 1st. Well, actually, you'll be
after
gone.
After next week, it's going up. I'm gonna enjoy it for a couple months. I'm gonna just enjoy it. And I said I'm gonna put my Christmas lights up. And and that's whenever one of the kids said, but nobody will even see it back there. I said, Hannah and Ethan will.
We'll take Ezra out for a stroll.
Ezra can take for a stroll and he can go, ooh. I love that kid. He's so funny. Him and Ivy yesterday playing. Ivy said, "Give me that baby." So she would make it. She would make me sit him next to her, and she'd be like, "Give me that baby." Now to Liam, she goes, "Give me my baby." She didn't say my baby to Ezra. She said, "Give me that baby."
It just cracks me up because he feels like he weighs more than Ivy, even though he don't. But she tries to like mother him, and I'm like, I don't even know how she drags him. Like I don't even know how she's strong enough to pull him.
You remember at the where
at
was
the
it?
Gym. At the gym, he was trying to crawl on the basketball court, and little Ivy is like mother hen over there, and she's grabbing it every time he gets so far, grabs his legs and starts pulling him back.
I've never been so proud of Thomas. Look at that. He sent me two pictures of a Christmas tree's already up. That a boy.
I think the Swifts, might have theirs up already. Oh. I heard through the grapevine.
Look, if we weren't getting ready for some other things, I would have it up right now, too. I mean, we are so ready for this. I'm just in the Christmas spirit. All right. I'm ready for this year. I'm still ready for Thanksgiving, though, because on Thanksgiving, there's no diets. There's no health consciousness. There's no working out on Thanksgiving. Like, I am going to eat and I'm going to be thankful for it, because that's the meaning of Thanksgiving. But I am so amped about Christmas. I've been watching Christmas chick flicks for about 3 weeks already, getting ready for I'm getting decoration ideas over here. I'm looking at the sugar cookies. I'm looking at all that, and I'm thinking, I can't wait for you, Christmas.
Okay, one last non-spiritual thing. What is your all's favorite Christmas movie, like chick flick movie?
Ooh, chick flick movie. Oh gosh, I don't know. There's so many.
Okay, so far this year.
Oh goodness,
Don't even know the names of them.
Honestly. I don't know the names of them.
Have to say they're all the same. That one with.
Yeah, I would have to say that. I have to say, I don't know. Like,
I'd have to say mine from last year, because I haven't really started to watch them this year yet. But last year, there was one with Candace Bure in it,
mm-hmm.
and she was like, actually, there was two. I liked one. It was like a military base.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I know that one. That one was really good.
That one was good. She was on working there as like a
nurse. She's a doctor. She's a doctor.
Yeah, doctor. And I liked that one. And then I also liked the other one with her in it, where it was like a road trip to find from her dad that passed away.
The red truck.
Yeah, that one was good.
I've seen both of them. Seen that first one like three times. I will say this. I love a lot of Christmas movies. They don't have to be chick flicks. I watch a lot of them. The best Christmas pageant, though.
Oh my gosh, yes.
What a movie.
Okay, that's not even in that category, she is in that.
That
movie is amazing.
That's like an instant classic. Yeah. Classic. Like that movie is going to be an every year kind of movie to watch.
Oh, yeah.
The best Christmas pageant ever. That was, gosh, had me crying,
had you crying,
rejoicing, laughing,
praising the Lord.
That was everything. Like, it was a really good movie.
It really was.
They did a great job on it. And of course, there's your classics and your Santa Clauses and all that kind of stuff. But that best Christmas pageant ever.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say I'm a forever Grinch guy. Like, I make no apologies for it. I am a Grinch guy.
But I felt like the message in that was like so...
The Grinch? Me too.
Yeah. No. The heart just grows. No.
He got born again. He got a new heart. What else do you want?
But best Christmas pageant ever. I felt like it really preached the gospel.
Oh, gosh. It was such a good movie. It really was. Gosh, that was such a good movie. I can't wait to watch it again.
Yeah.
We'll probably, that'll be a movie we sit down with our kids every year and watch.
Nobody's going to know what this means, but the ham, that part with the ham.
Yeah.
That'll get you. You don't know what it is yet, but when you watch it,
you just prepare to cry. It'll get you. All right. Well, we are in verse 20. Now that I'm already in the Christmas mood here, I'm just amped up. Like,
maybe we need to read through the Christmas account, the birth of Jesus.
Like, when you work out, you get that, you know, that little extra shot of, you know, like testosterone, your body's kind of like fueled, ready to go. And it's what I'm thinking about in Christmas this year. It just gets me fueled. And I'm so glad I have a brother in Thomas that's a Christmas fan too, because he's like amen to me over here. Let's go. All right. Jude, I always say Jude chapter 1. Everybody says, okay. Jude.
I mean, what are you supposed to say? Just Jude, whatever.
Jude verse 20, I guess. I don't know. But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to broaden the spectrum a little bit on this. He's talking about you, beloved. Again, I think beloved is a name we should bring back into the church, a word we should use more often, beloved, because you are beloved of the Father, right? And he's saying building yourself up in the most holy faith. Now, I want to be careful not to make this, you can do this yourself, but we are charged to build ourselves up in the faith. We are charged to give the right fuel. We're charged to eat the right thing in the spiritual diet. We are charged to pray. And he's saying praying in the Holy Spirit. And this is how we're going to start building ourselves up in the
faith. Can I say something about that? So I was at my favorite coffee shop. And on this day, I always forget, but they have a women's Bible study. And all different ages, but a lot of them are older ladies. And they're just sitting around this long table, and they're just, like, getting it. Like, they are preaching the word. They are, you know, like, testifying, encouraging each other. And I don't join in because, you know, I haven't committed to that. But I'm always just gleaning from it and just amening in the background. I'm back there, like, yes, that's so good. But anyways, they might have actually been talking about this verse, and they were talking about encouraging yourself in the Lord. And they were, there was this one lady that was talking about how you might expect people even closest to you to be the ones to encourage you. Like, you might have a mindset of, I just really need encouragement from somebody. And I do believe the Lord wants us to encourage each other. I mean, there's many verses about that. But she was really just going into the importance of encouraging yourself. Like, we have to live with a habit of encouraging ourselves. Because if we're just sitting around waiting on somebody to encourage us, then we're going to get disappointed because, I mean, other people are going through things. We never know what's going on with other people and why they're not, you know, being there for us the way that we want them to be. But whenever we live in such a way that we stir ourselves up in the Lord, and it was speaking to me because I've been on the end of, like, I wanted a prophetic word so bad from somebody because I was so tired of waiting on the Lord. Like, and not one that's like, you're going to move to Africa. Like, one that was just, like, encouraging, you know, like, just keep on going or something like that. But I just love what this lady was saying because, I believe it's what's saying here, your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Like, the Holy Spirit wants to encourage us. And I think it's like we're encouraging ourselves, but really what we're doing is we're turning to the Holy Spirit instead of everything else.
Yeah. I think this could definitely pertain to, there is a part when you pray in your language. You know, some people have a prayer language, some people don't. Some people believe in it, some people don't. That's, you know, that's not the discussion, but I do think there is a spiritual language you can pray in.
Yeah.
But I don't think this is exclusive to that. Mm-hmm. I think this is a broader spectrum than tongues. I think this is saying that we're praying in harmony, we're praying in unison, we are being led by the Spirit of God in our prayer, that we're connecting with Holy Spirit, we're discerning Holy Spirit, that we are praying within the confines of unity with the Holy Spirit. That we're not trying to pray amiss. We're not trying to pray from our own desire. We're going to build ourselves up in the faith, and we're going to pray in the Spirit. Now, again, if you have a prayer language, I think you could do that. Like, absolutely. But I don't think it's exclusive to tongues. I think just because if you've never spoken tongues, you can't do this verse. Like, no, I think the author here, Jude, is saying, like, build yourself up in the faith by praying with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Connecting, agreeing, coming
and speaking the word.
Yeah, and pray the word. Pray by way of discernment of the Holy Spirit. Before you ever start coming to agreement in prayer, start declaring something, sit there and say, Holy Spirit, what's your will over this? Holy Spirit, what would you like me to pray? Like, Holy Spirit, how do you think? How do you feel about this? And I do that often when people come to me asking for prayer for healing or prayer for a situation. I may pause for a minute before I do it. And sometimes I back off completely and just, I let somebody else start to pray until the Lord kind of guides me or directs me. And it's not because I don't want to pray for people. I don't want to pray amiss. I want to get in touch with the Holy Spirit and pray in unison with Holy Spirit. What is your will? Because it's easy for me to try to be dictator or me to try to be the, you, God, you do this way. Like, no, that doesn't work. Like, I figured out that doesn't work telling God what to do. But if we will pray in the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit is living in me to be my helper. He is the great helper. And what's he helping me? To be formed into more Christ-likeness. So mm-hmm. if I want to pray on point, then I need Holy Spirit to show me how to pray. Because he knows the Father's heart. Because his heart is the Father's heart.
Yeah.
And Jesus so loved us that he said, I'm going to go so that I can send a comforter. I can send a helper. And this helper is going to form you into the Father's heart. He's going to give you the Father's heart. He's going to help you pray. He's going to help you fast. He's going to help you conquer sin. He's going to help you know the thoughts of the Father. He's going to help. And so I think that's really what this verse is pertaining to in a lot of areas.
I do too. I like what my note said in verse 20. The antidote for pulling back from wrong is being built up in what is right.
Mm-hmm. I like that. And then that would be verse 21, keeping yourself in the love of God, keeping yourself in what is right, always staying in the love of God, which I could tell you it's not easy. Like sometimes, like it's easy to think of the love of God, but like keeping yourself there and not letting yourself get angry or mad or off there. And I think that's why Paul writes, focus and meditate on what is holy, mm-hmm. what is pure, what is worthy. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard sometimes. Like, mm-hmm. You know, it is hard. And I'm the first one to admit, I always don't do it. Like sometimes I'm definitely not Jesus' third cousin. Like it's
not glass like, half full.
Yeah. I mean, like I'm glass half empty. I'm like, pour the glass out. I'm done. Like, you know,
break the glass on the ground.
Like, you know, we all get there. And I think this is where Jude's telling us at that moment, we've got to build ourselves up in the faith and we got to keep ourselves in
know,
the love of God.
You know what I loved? One scene in this movie, I'm sorry, I keep going back to it, but the dad was once taking care of the son who had a lot of health issues his whole life. But then the son grows up, overcomes so many things, and is taking care of his dad. And his dad gets Parkinson's. But this dad is one of my favorite characters because he just continues to remain so positive about everything. And his son is sitting there, and he's in tears, and he's like, how are you still so positive about everything right now? And he just starts to smile, and he's like, how could I not be? And he starts, like, reflecting on all of the blessings that God's given him and that he's looking at a miracle at his son that should was literally a 1% chance. He was the 1% that lived out of his situation.
Yeah.
But then he starts going into, and my wife, I love my wife. God's given me my wife. Basically, I'm paraphrasing, but I'm like, it's like this movie was just confirmation for me of what God's been speaking to me in every situation. Like, we have to look at what he's done. Look at what the Lord has done. And that's what will help us to think on those things that are pure.
So you telling me I should try to watch this movie? So I can get gratitude in my attitude, too?
It is good. But gratitude, it's more, it was even before this movie. It was just like the movie was just like a confirmation of it.
Yeah.
You know? Because I just really... That's so good. That verse was in my spirit yesterday, to think on those things that are pure.
Yeah, it's been on my mind
holy,
too a lot.
And all of that.
Amen.
So we're keeping ourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life, and have mercy on those who doubt. Like, and Jude's saying, like, we're waiting on the mercy for the fulfillment of the promise, fulfillment of salvation, fulfillment of glorification, according to Romans. And he said, but also we are to have mercy on those who are struggling, those who are doubting. What's the King James say there in verse 22?
And some have compassion, making a difference.
Yeah. And so, like, we are called, like, those who are sometimes even struggling with their faith or struggling with a situation, like, and especially those, we all know them. I won't speak for anybody else. I've been there myself, like, where you're struggling to stay the course in some situations, or, you know, there's some things happening in life and you're just kind of getting frustrated. Like, this is where we are to compassionate with each other, to have mercy, to pray, to build each other up then at that point.
Yeah.
Like, but verse 23 is one of my favorites. Save others by snatching them out of the fire.
Mm.
To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. We are called to save people out of the fire. Now, I get it. Like, I can't save anybody. But Paul says it himself in 2 Corinthians 5. Knowing the fear of the Lord, what does he do? I persuade men. Hannah knows that verse now. I talk about it all the time. It's one of my favorite verses. But is it not true?
Yeah.
Like knowing what's ahead of people that don't know him,
yep.
Knowing what's in judgment for people that are far from him, we should persuade men. And this is what Jude is telling us to do as well, snatching them out of the fire.
Amen.
Wow.
That is our job. In verse 24, I told you we're going to finish today. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Can you imagine the day that we stand before
Amen.
Yehovah and we are unworthy to be there? We deserve to be somewhere else. But we can say now to him who was and is to come, the one who is able to keep me from stumbling and to present me blameless by his blood and by his mercy. Because some days I know just how big of a failure I am, but I can say there is one.
Yeah.
Amen.
There is one. There is the blood of Jesus that washes me white as snow. And Amen. One day I will stand before Yehovah, and I will stand before God Almighty, and I will stand there washed, sanctified, and consecrated by the blood of Jesus and clothed in his white robe. And I can say, worthy is the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. And I can say to the one who kept me, the one who preserved me, the one who washed me, and the one who saved me, he is the reason I stand before you today. And he says, when he asked me, why should you get in here? I can say I shouldn't. But there's one who made the way, who paid the ransom, who redeemed me, bought me, sanctified me. He became my kinsman redeemer. He married me, and he clothed me in his garment. That is the one that Jude is talking about. That is the one that we celebrate. That is the one that one day we will join with the elders and angels and Amen. Say, worthy, worthy, Amen. Worthy. And we will see what the cherubim see, and we will say, holy, holy, holy. And who are they singing that around? The Lamb
yeah.
that was in the center of the throne room. His name is Jesus, my friend.
That's good. Do you ever think that the scripture, because it's dawned on me, that talks about those who stand up there and say, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do this in your name? I keep thinking it's because they were trying to do it within themselves.
Mm.
And all they was doing was presenting Jesus with everything they did.
They did.
And it will never stand before the Father. It will burn up and it won't last. And I'm thinking, but it's those that come and say, Lord, I'm not worthy. But you, I accepted your blood. I trusted you and you alone, not myself. And I think that's where I keep going back to that verse. And again, it just dawned on me. It was them saying, Didn't I do this? They were doing everything within themselves. Because the blood of Jesus, I mean, you can speak Jesus' name. It's got power over everything. And I feel like these people were being involved. They were maybe around people who could do these things. And they seen it and they witnessed it, but they were trying to do it within themselves.
Yeah. Pastor TK from Watermark said in a sermon, I don't know if it was last Sunday or Sunday before last, I was listening to it the other day. And actually, Pastor Darren just sent this quote because I said this the other day and I quoted Pastor TK. And he said, as a pastor, he said, I'm always doing stuff for Jesus. And he says, I have to remind myself to do stuff with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we get in the mode of doing things for Jesus. But he says, it's one thing to do stuff for Jesus. It's another thing to do stuff in and mm-hmm. with Jesus. And the Bible true. Actually doesn't tell us to do stuff for Jesus. It says we are in Christ.
Amen.
We are walking with Christ. We are with and in, not doing it for. He Amen. Says, no longer are you servants. Now I call you friends. And it's a big thing. And
I mean, that's the... that's the whole gospel that I think sometimes people forget. That he says, if you abide in me, I'll abide in you. It's kind of like, come on, let's get close to the Lord. Let's don't ever think that we can even do anything within ourselves, because we can't.
Mm-hmm.
But when we join up, like he's talking about, with the Father and join hand in hand, it's kind of like, I always picture this, holding Jesus' hand walking down the road and him telling me, hey, this is what we're going to do. And it's just like this conversation that's ongoing constantly, because everybody thinks, well, how do you talk to Jesus? Like, he's always talking to you. You just don't listen. I mean, I said, it's kind of like when you're going down and you hear, hey, pray for those people over there. I said, that wasn't you. That was the Holy Spirit living in you. And I think people forget about that. Those little things. Hey, don't go down that road. You know, it's kind of like, why? You know, no, just do it. You know, always follow that intention, because when you're walking with the Lord, he's speaking. You think it's you all the time. Most of the time it's, hey, I'll be like, Kirsten, did you hear that? And she'll say, yeah, you know, but I think that's why we forget that he's always talking, but we just don't listen.
Hmm.
We're just too busy thinking about tomorrow, and we're thinking about the plans of the future. And I'm like, man, if we'll just live in the now, we'll see a lot of things that God wants to do, you know.
Somebody was saying that yesterday. They were like, the busier you get, the harder, the more voices that are competing for the still small voice.
Mm-hmm.
Break. We're going to come back here and get into some more Bible discussion. Hannah, we're going to do your Kingdom Corner at the top of the hour, because I got to run to chapel.
Oh, okay.
So it'd be you and Jacob. So I figured that'd be a good time for you to do your Kingdom Corner and y'all continue in. I have a praise report. Our new processor is in. And if you're listening to us, it should start to sound a little bit different, should start to sound a little bit better. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean the signal's going to be clearer in some areas, because, you know, that's some of that's outside of our control. I'm just being honest with you. But the quality of sound should be, I mean, me and Roger can already tell a big difference in what, and some things we've already listened to and stuff. But we're going to work on, actually, I got some streaming to do today that I'm going to be working on as well. So we're hoping every facet of the quality of sound starts to improve. But I could hear a big difference yesterday as soon as we hooked it up and got it fired up. So, and we were hoping to do that last Thursday, but it just wasn't working out schedule-wise and with some live programmers. And so we waited till yesterday to do it. And I'm just praise the Lord and thank you to the generous support of an individual who helped us get that immediately. And we've been trying to get that hooked in. So just praise the Lord. And I hope that, you know, if you're listening, you can say, I can tell a difference. Like, I'd love to hear from you just to know. We're going to keep working on the quality.
Someone already said better this morning.
Yeah. And we're hoping it just keeps improving. And we're going to make some other adjustments, because we want to have Kingdom quality sound. We're not looking for a 1950s tin can sound. We want to be able to give a good quality, excellent sound, because the Kingdom is excellent. Our God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. And so we don't want to put out anything lackluster. So, we are just giving God praise, and we want to honor an individual, anonymous one, who helped us get that piece of equipment. So,
Amen.
Just praise the Lord for advancement. And we're going to be working on some digital streaming stuff today as well. So hopefully that will help us in a lot of areas too. So let's read our first trivia question of the day. What trade did Demetrius practice in Ephesus? What trade did Demetrius practice in Ephesus? 270-257-2689. We will be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.
I feel like they can hear me talk different when I have it in my mouth.
All right, we are back here. I think I made a little bit of a mistake here.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, some people would say, well, that's what's new. Brother Steve answered this question yesterday too, and I was in the middle of doing something when he called and answered, and I forgot to write it down when I got back. So I got two names for this, because Miss Judy sure got it right today too. So I'm going to get both of them, because it's my fault, and but it is Silversmith. So congratulations to both of them. And then I've got to do this. I have two trivia things, because a share-a-thon, and then we messed up on some thing. I messed up on some timing. So today we're actually going to do two different drawings. We have
double portion.
Yeah, we're going to do two different drawings. I'm going to do that here here in just a minute. I'm going to work on getting my spinning wheel done so we can get caught up here. And so All right. So what are you guys going to talk about today? I'm taking the morning off from here. Until Pastor Darren gets here, because honestly, Pastor Darren's my hero. So,
well, we still have some, I think, Bible questions left over, do we?
You know, I really, before you get into that, I really loved Miss Crystal's testimony about Todd yesterday. It just really, I really loved it. She said that, you know, she was talking about Mr. Todd as he's traveling. He drives a truck and stuff like that. But she said he's always asking people. I'm sure he's done it for a long time. But I just loved her sharing that yesterday because I think it's an encouragement to all of us. She's like, wherever he goes, he's like, can I pray with you? And she was like, he'll call me and say, hey, pray for this person. Who's that? Well, I just met him. Like, I mean, people are really, like, the more we can get out there with prayer and encouragement. And, you know, sometimes we think sharing the gospel is just, you know, giving them the four spiritual laws and taking them through the theological issues and all these kind of things. Sometimes that's necessary. But sometimes it's like, sometimes just asking somebody to pray is like watering. Some may sow the seeds, and that may be a water, or that may be sowing a seed in somebody else. God's the only one to give the increase.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's snatching people. It's like, you know, at the gym, I mean, I don't care if people get tired of it. It's just part of my life now. It's a big part of my life is working out. I can't tell you how many gospel conversations, how many prayers, how many conversations I get to have about the Lord at that gym almost daily. Mm-hmm. I mean, I go 6 days a week, and I'm having conversations, not daily, but almost daily.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to tell people about what God does, or I get to tell people what I do. And I mean, I've stopped to work out and prayed with people right there in the middle of the gym. I love the gym that I go to because you may be working out and my AirPod broke yesterday. The tip on it just ripped off. Huh. And so, but like, it's okay. You know why? Because there's worship music playing in the gym. Like, constantly. They're not listening to the trash. They literally have worship music playing over the loudspeaker. And so, I think, you know, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, you're going to have an opportunity. And you say, well, I don't know if I can share the gospel with people. Well, you can ask him if there's anything you can pray for him for. Like, you can. Like, anybody can do that. You don't have to be a theological expert. You don't have to know the four spiritual laws. You don't have to have this excellent track. You just have to say, hey, what can I pray for you for today?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you'd be shocked how much conversation that opens up.
Well, I watched a guy. He was witnessing to people, and they were basically arguing with him. Oh, you're God. And he's cursing his God and blah, blah, blah. And then he started saying a few things, and that guy got real argumentative. He says, well, before you leave, can I pray for you? He's like, sure. Like he's sitting there arguing with the guy, and then he just offered. He's like, I'm praying for you. And so he asked him, you know, is there anything going on in your life? And the guy's, well, you know, this, blah. So he starts praying for him. And the guy's prayer was amazing because he went in talking about, even though he doesn't understand who you are, let him understand who you are. Show him the love of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And this guy's demeanor just changed completely.
Wow.
And he starts crying. He said, thank you for that prayer. So people, here's the main, I always said this, prayer's an open door. Because when we speak the theology, okay, it's messing with people's minds, right? So it's kind of like they're battling something, trying to figure out what's true, what's not true. Is this person telling me the truth, blah, blah, blah. But when you pray, there's a door that's opened.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost kind of like that open heaven begins to rain down.
Mm-hmm.
So you're connecting not me and what I'm saying, but you're connecting to another realm with the Lord. It's that connection, the spiritual connection. So you're basically opening up a portal into heaven over these people. And I said, sometimes I always said, if we will just open up in prayer over people, I think they'll receive the gospel more.
Mm.
I've seen that a lot, you know. Now, there's some people that...
To open up the door to the kingdom.
Yeah. There's some people that's jerked away from me when they'll be like, yeah, you can pray for me, and I'll begin to pray for them. They're like, but I think it's something in them that don't like it, you know. Mm. So it's only happened to me once or twice, but I've seen most people be more open to prayer, and because they really, I mean, they probably don't see it a lot, you know. And even in my family, who's sometimes are heathens, you know, they're always like, Jacob, pray for us, you know. They still honor, they know. A lot of people have this, they still have this, even if they're so cold-hearted and they're just, you know, there's this part of them that knows that there's a higher power.
Yeah.
And they, you know, even if they're like big talk, oh, I don't care what he says, I'll be in hell. I've heard people tell me, I'll burn in hell. Well, I was like, well, I said, I hope you don't. But
yeah.
I said, I'm here for you and I'm praying for you. And this one guy that said that to me, let me pray for him. And he still today, he'll say, hey, how you doing, man? I mean, I don't know where he's at spiritually, but, you know, I still think that he understood that there was power.
Mm.
Just like in the Bible, when Daniel prayed, man, they knew this guy's prayer is being answered.
Yeah.
You know, this guy has power that we don't have. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego gets tossed in the fire. The whole nation is serving their God because
yeah.
the power that God has shown. And I think that it's through the humbleness
mm-hmm.
and the humility and the prayer and understanding that you're connecting to a kingdom that's far bigger than us
yeah.
that rains down. So it's kind of like sometimes I feel like we're always preaching the gospel without plug in.
Mm-hmm.
When you plug into the outlet, and you begin to use, like we've been talking all morning, without doing it within yourself, but you're doing it with the Father. Jesus, what do you want me to do? How do you want to get across to this person today? You want me to pray for them? Or do they just need just to show love a hug? Or maybe they just need some kind words? Or maybe they do need to be challenged in their theology. Maybe they, you know, like I remember me and Aaron went and talked to those people. We don't know what ground we broke. They're still in there probably Scientology. But there was something that they understood that was different about us
mm-hmm.
that they'd never seen before. And these people are in big cities, you know. They see all kinds of people coming by.
Mm-hmm.
I always said, how is it that sometimes the bigger I'm not trying to be, I guess the word I'm looking for, I'm not trying to be critical. But how is it that some of the bigger ministers that have a bigger platform are the ones that have people around them that are not like Jesus.
Mm.
I said, you should be impacting those people more than anybody because you have a bigger platform than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Why is the people around you acting like a bunch of heathens?
Yeah.
Why is the council and the people that you have all around your table not hearing the gospel?
You know what I think part of that, I've thought about that before, and I feel like if you have such a huge congregation, then you have to have organization. And it's like you have to have several mature spiritual leaders in place to like take small groups.
Oh yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like because I think the reason whenever it starts falling into that is whenever there's not enough accountability between the people. But there
yeah.
whereas with a smaller, it's, you know, it's like too much. One person cannot manage a whole church that big.
Mm-mm.
Like it's, that would be impossible for one, and not that we're managers, but one person could not like shepherd that many people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so you'd have to put other shepherds. There would have to be like multiple shepherds.
But the problem with that is, and I know this is going to sound critical again, but they're not worried about kingdom. They're worried about pocketbooks.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day,
I think
they didn't get to where they were.
I'm not saying, I can't say either way whether mega churches are right or wrong, but I think as far as like being effective, as far as what we see in scripture, it seemed like it was smaller units,
yeah.
but then they came together as the whole body of Christ.
Yeah.
And we're still working together, you know, yeah. with.
I can't remember there was a study on it. I don't want to say for sure what it said, but if you combined all the money of all the mega churches, it would be enough to feed everybody in America, all across America, like a really like all for the whole month. Like if you combined all the money that they took in. So I'm sitting there thinking, we're supposed to be the light of the world, but it seems like people look at us and these huge buildings and nice facades, and while people are sitting out here starving to death or just really in need, but we're more worried about what our churches look like. And so anyways, didn't want to get off on that, but it's something I've heard. This one guy, I was watching a guy I listen to a lot. He said he bought a second airplane. He said, oh, I've got this one airplane. It's a new jet. I'm like, really? You need two jets? Yeah. Go ahead, Aaron. I thought Aaron said that, but, I mean, it just bothers me. And maybe it's just me, you know. I'm not sitting out here saying if it's right or wrong, but I think the heart of it is like, is that going to help you spread the gospel, or is that because you want everybody to look at you?
Well, I don't have no jets to give away, but I do have some books, and I got my spinning wheels ready. So y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's do this. Let's do this. All right. This is for the – I got two different trivias to draw for. I guess it happened from Sherathon. I found them on the desk laying under some up, and I was like, whoa, wait a second. We haven't drawn for that yet. So we're going to do this. All right. Now, the one of them's from the last 2 weeks, so it's not too bad. First one, Miss Brenda Sims got it right.
Yeah, Miss Brenda.
Well, not right, but – she won the spinny wheel, Miss Brenda. So I'm going to get her a book sent out. And then for the next one, this is the one we're behind. The other one we're actually on time for. So this is the one that we missed. So here's for, let's see here, going here. Who is going to win this one? Greg Carwile. So Miss Brenda Sims and Brother Greg Carwile got these two trivia things. So congratulations.
I love how the guy says, woo.
Ooh, well, glory.
Oh, man. There you go. I feel better. My heart's at ease now that I got it caught up here. I felt bad. I was like, oh, my goodness, we didn't do that week. I mean, the one we just did, that was just last 2 weeks. So that one's on track. So we sometimes don't do it till middle of the week anyway. So, but there we go. All right. Now, Winner chicken dinner, Miss Brenda.
Hey, I see, man. That. There's like a
if
little...
you would like a chicken dinner instead of a book, Miss Brenda, we can make that happen. All right. Well, let's see here. Miss Hannah is correct. We did have a question or two we haven't got to yet from our questions. Does going to the doctor when you're sick indicate a lack of faith? I am going to very firmly. I don't think so always. All right. Now, I do think that what you're ultimately putting your trust in, like, I think here's my opinion. This is only my opinion on this because this is an opinionated question. Like, there's no scripture about this. In fact, there's probably scripture to talk about medicinal means more than there's not, because the Lord has established certain things to be medicinal. And I'm going to stick, because I've said this a lot, like, your medicine's like insulin. I think it's marvelous. Like, how diabetes used to be a death sentence. And God gave somebody the wisdom to make insulin that can help diabetics live longer and more healthy lives. Mm-hmm. I don't see that as a negative thing. I see that as a really good thing, and I see it as God's gift to us. There's going to come a day when we won't need insulin whatsoever. There's come a day when we'll need no cancer medicine. There's going to come a day when we don't need any heart medicine, like, or heart surgeries. There's coming that day, but we're still living in a fallen world, and we're still facing issues from a fallen world. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not going to be one to say if you go to medicinal things that shows a lack of faith. I think you just have to check your heart and to make sure what your faith really rests in. So, like, when I shattered my wrist and I had to go to surgery, they set it first time when I was awake, and that hurt. Like, they had to reset my wrist. And then they put me in surgery to break it again, to put it in the proper place. When I prayed going into surgery, I was like, Lord, guide the surgeon's hand. I trust you with this. Like, I put my full trust in you, but I believe that he's raised up doctors and nurses for such a day as this to help us.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure that Hannah was very thankful for nurses and doctors when she was giving birth to Ezra.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, and I don't think that means she's lack of faith because she'd do it at home and just trust the Lord. Like, I think you trust the Lord that he's given us in good everything. Things to help us.
Yeah.
And so
don't even get me started on the nurse in this movie I've been talking about. That, I know I said the dad was my favorite, but he was like this other nurse was speaking death, like, he's gone, he's done for. And this nurse, they never give testimony of, like, this is what I believe, you know. They didn't come out and say they were Christians, but you could tell by their actions. Like, he was speaking life. He was like, no. He was like, this boy will live. And he came up to, and he was like, canceling out every word curse that was spoken. He was like, no, he's going to live, and he's going to walk. He's going to. And it's like, to have medical professionals that are doing that's a blessing from God. To have, we need more believers in hospitals.
Yeah.
We really do, because, I mean, that it's life and death situations.
True.
And to have, I remember when Jacob was, I was staying with him in the hospital, and there were several nurses that were not believers and were speaking death, but then there were some that were just absolutely phenomenal. And the care and the love that they showed. And then, you know, we ended up finding out they were believers and they were playing Christian music and stuff. But, like, they don't even have to tell you they're a believer for you to know.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're being the hands and feet of Jesus. And so I have such a more of a respect for nurses and doctors, especially the ones that are believers.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now, some people say, but Aaron, you've been critical. You even talk about pharmakeia. Well, yes, but I don't want to go too deep down this rabbit hole. We do it all the time. But for me, pharmakeia that the Bible talks of, there's mind-altering medicines
yes.
that create a passivity of mind that make you more susceptible to things. That's what I'm leery of. Pharmakeia is, it's considered more witchcraft and sorcery in the Bible. It's what it talks about. That's not insulin. That's
Can I say something on that, sure. too? So the people, a lot of the people that are forming these drugs mm-hmm. and working in the labs and all of this, there's people working on things that would never take it themselves. Mm-hmm. So the ones that are nurses and doctors, they're actually the ones in the fields getting their hands dirty and actually helping, like, take care of people. But when it comes to the medicine part, that's a whole other world because there's laboratories, there's marketing schemes, there's, you know, persuasion and, mm-hmm. and all of these things that, these people aren't even seeing the effects. Their job is literally to just create substance or use substances to create something, but they're not even seeing how it affects people. And I'm not saying it's not needed. I'm thankful for the ones who have been had integrity in the science of creating medicine mm-hmm. that actually, you know, did their due diligence. They looked for the red flags and they spoke up about it, that yeah. this could be harmful to people.
Yeah.
But there's just a lot of corruption mm-hmm. in that.
I've always said, and I think any pastor that says tells you to stop taking medicine is in error. I never said for you to stop taking. I always say, you know, you should pray yeah. first and foremost. Like you both heard me say this a lot. You should pray and ask the Holy Spirit before you take any medicine.
Yeah,
pray and ask Holy Spirit. Is this your will? Is this what? Is this the healthy thing? Like the other day, everybody knows that I was struggling with a really bad neck injury. I didn't know it was a neck. I thought it was my back, and like. Hannah saw me come in the radio station with my arms frozen one day. Like I was holding on to my shirt because it hurt so bad and I couldn't move it. And I was just having enough of it. And I remember Monday morning, I just said, Joe called me and I was like, I was trying to work out, push through the pain. I said, why don't you just pray for me? And Joe prayed. And so when Joe prayed for me, people had been telling me to go to the chiropractor. And I'm just going to use this as an example. But I was like, no. Like, for one, I don't have health insurance. I don't even know how much it'd be. And so I'm sitting there, and when Joe prayed for me, it really felt this urge to go to the chiropractor. Like, that's what come in me. And so I called one after I left the gym, and I'm like, hey, how much would you be? And they told me, and I was like, well, that's going to be a lot, but I guess if that's what if it gets me out of pain, I'll try it. And then I called another one just to check, and they were like $150 cheaper. And I just felt like I felt at peace, like, I'm going to go. So I drove to Hardinsburg and went. And different man. Like, he put my nerve, he decompressed my nerve, straightened my back, fixed some adjustment issue on my left side. Yesterday I went and I lifted as much as I've ever lifted, pain-free. I feel like when Joe prayed for me, the Holy Spirit released peace in my life yeah. to go to the chiropractor. I don't think it was demonic. I don't think I showed a lack of trust. I think what it was the Holy Spirit confirmed in my heart, this is a path to move forward.
Yeah.
And you can say, well, that's why don't you just pray for radical healing? Why didn't Paul pray for radical healing over Timothy? Why did he tell Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach, which is medicinal?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying. I think God gives these wisdom and gives these paths forward to help us. And not everything needs to be a supernatural healing. Uh-uh. Some things God uses people, uses our hands, uses our minds, uses, you know, certain oils like, you know, I always pick on my wife about the essentials. I'm like, do I chant with this thing? What do I do with it?
Goodness.
But, like, they actually work. Yeah, like, you put a – she's. I had a headache one day, and Miss Lena Wright put something on my forehead. And I'm like, my gosh, my headache's gone. Like, it was like, where'd yeah. it go? Like,
yeah. Peppermint works wonders. I don't even have any of it, but somebody gave me that one time, and I was feeling –
it works.
You know, like, you know, nauseous, like you're about yeah. to throw up or something. And, I mean, it just cleared that up.
Peppermint's good for everybody.
And I think that's where, like, I don't think that's demonic.
Mm-mm.
I don't think it's wicked. I think it's God's goodness that he's given us places in healing. Like Jacob does these patches things he swears by. He hasn't done them to me yet. But it's like you've seen great success in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's the Lord's goodness that we're growing in a healthy way and we're able to love our children and do life and provide for our families and serve the Lord pain-free. And praise be unto God for doctors and nurses and those who are helping us. Now, again, I, like Hannah said, I've given the red flags on things that concern us.
Yeah.
Like medicine that are zombifying our kids, mm-hmm. or medicine that's altering minds, or that medicine, I use an example that, you know, you had to go see a psychiatrist once a month so you didn't commit suicide. Like, I'm leery of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But, so I don't know. This you can go down a deep road with this. I'm trying not to, but I feel like that's my answer to this question that was asked.
Well, I think, too, with doctors and nurses, when people go into that, most of the time they're there to help you, you know. I'm not saying all of them, but most of them are there to help you. The problem with pharmaceuticals is the doctors and nurses don't know much about these pharmaceutical drugs. They get told what, you know, this is what they do, and this is what, and it's almost kind of like sometimes they don't know. And like I talked to a doctor one time, and he's like, if they did a trial run test of 6 months on all these drugs, he said there wouldn't be enough money in the world to be able to do it. It just costs so much money. So there, a lot of it's just test trials. And they're just trying to see what works and what don't work. And I think when it comes to certain things, like Aaron said, it's okay. But when it starts messing with your mind, that's where I feel like I have to draw a line. And that, personally, because I think that when you go in and you got to trust these people that they're not like, you know, are you telling me the truth about this or are you just trying to get a sale off this drug? So...
Yeah. Well, we got a break here. In this question, and we'll move on after the break to Kingdom Corner as I'm going to chapel for a minute. Pray. I will never give medical advice to somebody as a pastor. I don't think that's my role. My role as a pastor and a Bible teacher is to pray and ask Holy Spirit to direct you, to guide you. As we start out in Jude today, build up yourself in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. And I think if you're facing an illness today, like for me Monday, I feel like the Lord gave me direction to go to the chiropractor, and it literally made me a new man afterwards. He fixed it. And do I think it was him? I think the Lord used him to bring healing to my body. And that's why I'm saying let's pray. Like whatever you if the Lord's will is that medicine, he will show you and he will guide you. Miss Crystal, I won't share her testimony, but she shared a lot of stories about during her cancer season of how the Lord instructed her not to do this or go off this. And even though it was maybe against what they were saying, you know, she said, this is what I feel like the Lord. She shared that a lot on the radio, so I'm not over speaking.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna go all the details, but it's like we've gotta pray and we've gotta ask the Holy Spirit to guide us.
Amen.
In this. What was the name of the lawyer Paul called for? In Titus, what was the name of the lawyer that Paul called for? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break.
All right, we are back here, and it is about that time for Kingdom Corner. We still have Jacob in the studio with us, and even Miss Kylie over here. We have an extra in the studio, so maybe she'll pop in and say something. But we are still expecting Pastor Darren at 8:30, so excited for that. So I am in this morning Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. And before I read this, I have really just been feeling, not on me, because I know what it feels like for me to be under heaviness, but I've really just been sensing spiritually just that several people are under some heaviness right now. And I know that that's, you know, it comes and it goes. And not just a normal heaviness, but specifically discouragement. I feel like the enemy is really trying to discourage some people. And I believe that the Lord is always trying to encourage us. And even this morning we read about how, you know, we're called to encourage ourselves. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And so I love that. First of all, that's been just so big in my mind of how part of this gratitude thing that Jesus could have, and the Lord could have revealed himself to anybody, but Jesus is even rejoicing here that he chooses to hide the things from those who are wise in their own eyes, and he chooses to reveal them to little children. I don't think, Jacob, you can chime in here, but I don't think that he's talking about actual little children. Now, I do believe that he will reveal it to actual children, but I believe that it's talking about people who are come as a child.
Yeah.
People who have that faith. People who are not the status quo, well-known people of the earth. But all of that to say, you know, then he goes on after he's talking, he's glorifying and rejoicing, you know, or he's thanking the Lord that he's revealed these things to the people that he has, which is the humble people. Then he goes on to say, so any of you who have not came to the Father, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I just believe that the Lord is speaking right now. If you're feeling heaviness, if you're feeling like you're trying everything that you can and you're burnt out, or you are just seeing the negativity, continuing to dwell on the negativity, that's not from him. You know, it's just like he says, I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Mm-hmm. So if we are facing fear, if we're having fear, then that's not coming from him. So we know that if we're burnt out, if we're stressing out, you know, it talks about in Philippians not to be anxious, but to in everything give prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Because when we're feeling those other things, it means that we are yoked up to something else. That's what I believe he's saying here. And he's saying, learn from me. Stop trying to learn from every other voice around you. Stop trying to always soak in everything else but the still small voice, but the word of God. And I just this scripture is encouraging to me, but I just pray and I'm believing that the ones who are discouraged right now in the body of Christ, the ones that are facing things, that unexpected things, that you begin to lean in and find rest. Like, let your heart find rest, because it shows, you know, the heaviness and the heavy yoke, these things, the laboring that's causing you to be so depressed and stressed and obsessed, all the est altogether. It is affecting others. It affects the ones around you. You're not able to feed the ones around you the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He knows that by people coming to him and taking his yoke, learning from him, that he's looking at the end game. He's looking at the multiplication of, if these people can come to me, if they will accept my invitation, then that means their whole family is going to be affected by them learning from me. Mm-hmm. If these people will listen, and they will spread, just like the woman at the well. If this woman will listen and drink from my living well, he knew, you know, the Lord knew that she would go run and tell the rest of the people. And that's why it's always for the sake of others. Mm-hmm. First commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, might, everything. Second, love your neighbor as yourself. It's always for others. Everything Jesus did was always in laying his life down. And that's what he wants us to do. You know, we get so down in the dumps and we think about how poor me, and we get so self-focused on whether we're failing at this or failing at that. And that's how I know that the enemy is at work. I mean, obviously it's our flesh at work. We can't just blame the enemy for everything. We're responsible for it.
Yeah.
But that's how I know that the Lord is not in it. Whenever it becomes pity party, whenever it becomes why me, oh me, all of those things. And whenever we are focusing on those things that are negative. But he's saying, come to me. Like, I see. I think sometimes we forget that God sees. We think, well, mm-hmm. nobody sees all this, the work that I'm doing. Nobody understands how worn out and tired I am, and nobody appreciates me. And those are all lies of the enemy. Jesus sees everything because he said, all who labor. So he knows that there's people who are laboring. Like, and that's what I love about the word is we look for affirmation from each other.
Yeah.
We want it so bad from each other, but the word gives us those encouragements. And those affirmations, like if we truly are laboring and we're doing what we're supposed to, we're working hard, we're loving our families, we're, you know, doing what we're supposed to do. He sees that, and he knows, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He will give rest to the ones who come to him. But the problem is we don't always come to him.
That's right.
We want to fix it ourselves, or we think, you know, when we are so have that false humility of like beating ourselves down all the time, we think, well, I'm just going to wallow in this mm-hmm. because I'm not worthy
yeah.
of receiving what Jesus has. And that's where I think it can be a false humility, because it even reminds me, I was talking about this the other day, of I'm like bouncing around from this scripture to a lot of different scriptures. But when Jesus wants to wash Peter's feet, and Peter is like, no, you can't do that. Like, he does not want to receive what yeah. Jesus is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he does not want his feet to be washed. I was reminded of this the other day. Like, that can become a control thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that can become to not allow Jesus to serve you, to pour into you.
Yeah.
Because that's what it was about. You know, that was his order. That was his love being poured out on him.
Yeah.
But if we can't receive that and receive the way that God wants to do it, and that can expose some control in our own self.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can be masked by, well, I'm not worthy. Like, I need to be the one, yeah. you know, I need to be the one doing for you, Lord. But sometimes Jesus is like, I want to do for you.
Yeah.
I want to pour out on you. You can't pour from an empty cup.
Nope.
I have to pour into you. And that's what I see with the whole Peter thing. And I see it here. He's saying, like, you know, the Lord has revealed these things so that his will can be done, so that we can continue to pour out. But if we're continuing to be yoked up to all this other stuff, and we're heavy, and we're filled up with all of these other things, how can we contain what God wants to pour mm-hmm. into us? How can we contain what the promise that he has for us?
Yeah.
We won't be able to. So there's just so much there.
I mean, you go back to the little children. In Psalms it says, out of the mouth of babes. So we you know that Jesus is always looking for those who are looking to hear. They're trying to hear the word. You know, it's like the wise and haughty, or the people who think that there's something, or they've made it, or they've arrived. And sometimes it's hard to get through the kingdom to those people.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like to the ones that are intellectually inclined, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
I mean, I've met some people who are like some of the smartest people I've ever met in my life. Like, they could probably write a book within a couple of days. I mean, this one guy I used to go to school with, he was one of the smartest guys in class. And they talked about love. What is love? You know, which at the time I didn't know exactly what it was, because I wasn't, you know, a big believer, but I was saved. But I knew what love was in a sense. You know, it came from Jesus and stuff like that. But he's like, I don't believe in love as a, it's more of a something in the brain that happened. And he started on this big, I mean, he was analyzing every little bitty thing about love. And it's just a connection in the brain. That's all it is. And I'm like, dude, you're crazy. You know, like he was dissecting everything. Like everything had down to, I mean, I'm not saying if you're a brilliant mind that you dissecting these things that you're not going to hear from the Lord. But I think he was so caught up in everything and trying to figure it out that he was trying to trust in himself and not in Jesus. And I think sometimes that's where it goes into lean not on your own understanding. There's things that you're never going to be able to explain why it's happening. There's things that in this life that's going to happen that you have no answer for, but Jesus does. And it seems like when things are impossible, he makes them possible.
Yeah.
So I think that it's kind of like he will reveal them to those who believe, those who have faith. And we go back to faith. What's faith? Substance. Mm-hmm. It's a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. The faith that we have will be revealed in what Jesus, when he reveals to us, that our faith begins to increase. And we can use that substance that everybody else wants to use to be able to see what we need to see in the earth. Because without faith, you know, without faith, we can't please God. But faith without works is dead. So Jesus is trying to tell us every little, it's like, here's the puzzle piece. Here's faith. Here's works. Here's trusting in me. Put it all together, you know. And somebody's like, well, it's just too much to take on. No, quit trying to figure it out. Just trust him. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord with your life. If you will just say, okay, I can't do this
within
myself.
That's part of coming like a child.
Yeah, come like a child. And I think that, like, if I tell my kids what to do, you know, sometimes they don't like to do it, but they end up doing it, you know, because they know what's best for them. If you know what that the Father in heaven wants what's best for you, you'll listen to him.
Mm.
And when he reveals those things, if the kingdom of God is likened to a little child.
Mm-hmm.
How can you accept the kingdom of God if you don't come into it like a little child? Just like he told Nicodemus, you had to be born again. Nicodemus like, do you crawl up in the womb and come be born again? That's not what he's talking about. You're a new creature. You're a new creation. When you begin to be born again, it's just like you're a baby again. And I don't think he's trying to, in this place, I don't think he's trying to say, go back to being an infant, like where you're trying to do children, infant things. He's saying, when you get things from me, you come to me like, hey, like you're needing that to be able to live.
Mm-hmm.
It's like every word out of God. It's like, I need that. It's like living. It's making me grow.
Yeah.
And never
it's
stop.
Active.
I know, you know, even when he's giving you the meat, go to him as a child.
Mm-hmm.
When he's giving you the meat of the gospel, it's time for some to get off the milk and honey and get on the meat. But don't ever think that the meat doesn't come in that order of I'm coming to you as a child. Tell me more.
Mm-hmm.
Give me more, you know. So anyway, do you want to?
No, that's so good. And it even, you know, it reminds me the proverb, train up a child in the way they should go and they will not depart from it. You know, that plays into this.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord, he's wanting, he's training us. Even though that's speaking to men, like he is training us so that we will not depart from what he is teaching us. And that's why it is a training, but we are his children.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not just, like Aaron was saying earlier, servants. Like he loves us. He corrects us because he loves us. And he's for us. He's not against us.
Mm.
And so how can we, you know, when we're in the middle of a fire or trial or whatever we're facing, we shouldn't think like, gosh, like, why? I mean, we really shouldn't ask why a lot. Like, I feel like we should ask, Lord, I do love what Crystal says about her walk through cancer. Like, I feel like if we just keep asking why, then we're going to get distracted and off course. But she kept asking, Lord, what do you want me to know?
Yeah.
What are you trying to speak to me through this? What are you trying to teach me through this?
Yeah.
Because if we try to figure out why everything, we're just going to start leaning on our own understanding
And it won't make sense.
But it's like when we're least, you know, expecting it, the Lord will reveal sometimes. Yeah. He'll bring a revelation to things.
Yeah.
But I love what somebody said one time. They said, if God told me why and he laid out like the book of my life and gave me insight on everything, I would mess it all up.
Yeah.
Like, if he let me know everything, I would mess it all up because only God is supposed to know everything.
Yeah.
He's the only one that's supposed to be omniscient. Because even Satan and the angels, they don't know. They have, you know, things that are not revealed to them. You know.
I think it's best sometimes that we don't know.
Yeah.
Because
and God knows. God knows what's best for us because he is a good father.
Yeah.
It's just like parents should know. We should know what we don't need to say to our kids. Like what we don't need to let them know.
Yeah.
Like what we need to withhold for a season.
True.
And what we need to release to protect them. I think that's how God is with us. It's not that he hides himself or hides anything good, but he is always looking out to protect us.
If you wrote two books and you knew everything about your life, one is God's plan, one is Satan's plan. And God's plan says, you're going to go through some stuff, trials and tribulations. You're going through some hard times. And there might be some things you're like, I don't want that to happen. And it's going to be rough. I don't know if I can do that. Lord, I don't know if I go through that, I don't know if I'm going to make it. And you're going to see this book written out all the way through your life. And the end goal is Jesus and eternal salvation and glory. You get to be part of something greater than yourself. You get to be part of the kingdom of God. You get to be part of something. In the end, you make it. But you got to go through so much because the trials and tribulations is what burns, the fire burns in us. And then you got Satan's book over here. Man, you're going to be rich. You're going to be awesome. You're going to be popular. You're going to be famous. You're going to have everybody's going to want to be you. You're going to have everything. You're going to have the riches, the cars, all these things. This is Satan's book for you. You're going to have everything. You're going to have like, man, you're going to be the most wanted person in the world. And at the end, it's like, but I get your soul.
Mm.
Most people are going to look, well, I'll get all the good stuff. And then, yeah, I'll trade it. Because they see all the good stuff in the beginning. Because that's how Satan does. He gives you all these, oh, come on. The water's fine over here. Come on. He's enticing you. He's getting you. Just like the prodigal son. Give me all the money. God, give me my, or Father, give me my inheritance. I'm going to go spend. I'm going to live life awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, you're walling with the pigs.
Yeah.
I said it's so opposite of what God's saying. If the trials and tribulations that you have to go through in your life, you're going to build you up to the place that you're going to go. No matter what comes your way, I'm walking with you. Satan's like, oh, I'll give you everything, but it's for your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if these are two books written out for every one of our lives, Satan has a plan, God has a plan. And most of the time, people don't want God's plan because they have to go through some stuff.
Because you can't see everything that you want. And you can't see the unknowns. You want to know the unknowns.
Yeah.
But when you can see, you know, the beginning and the end. We know the end.
Yeah.
Like, that's the blessing, is like the middle. Yes, it would be nice to know, but honestly, we probably are going to thank God one day that we don't know everything in the middle, because we would stress ourselves out to the max. Like,
oh yeah.
But the best thing, and the thing that matters in any situation, like what we're always saying, like what, you know, like what's the end result? We know in even in everything. I mean, we know in eternity wise, our eternity is with Jesus.
Yeah.
But even in every situation, we should know that we are victorious.
Amen.
If we're in abiding in him, like you were saying, and if we seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, then we know, like the scripture gives us an end result of everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, we forget that though. But I think when we start to like really stand upon the word and hold fast to the word, that's when we're going to start like gaining our confidence and gaining our endurance. Like it talks about, you know, those who endure, those who persevere till the end.
You think about all these men I mean, think about John and when he was being boiled. Like, Lord, I don't know what this end result. I'm going to die. You know, all these things these men had to go through. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they're getting a fist and get thrown in the fire. They're probably thinking, man, you know, I know what this place is going to. The end result of what usually happens is death, you know. But they were jumping and shouting. And we know who our God is, and he's going to be there for us. And if we die, we die. We know where we're going. Yeah. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. So, I mean, I think that we have when you're in that mindset in the kingdom, it's hard. I mean, yeah, you can be shaken, but you have that foundation that holds you. It's like the anchor that holds you.
Yes.
And it's like Esther, who said, if I perish, I perish, but I am going in the name of the Lord. I am going to defend God. Just like David going up against Goliath. Man, these armies couldn't even defeat this man. Mm-hmm. And he's getting this tenacity in his heart, this little dude who didn't look anything like, I mean, he just was a little old shepherd boy. You know? And, I mean, what people didn't know is the trials and tribulations in his life, that he had already defeated some things that they didn't know about, you know. And when he came into that Philistine, you know, you think about the end result is, man, this dude could kill me.
Yeah.
And everybody else is, oh, you know, I ain't going up against him. He's like, no, in the name, I mean, my father, no, he's not cursing my God. And I'm like, that's the tenacity I think the church has to be.
Yes.
Killing the giants, killing those things. And if I perish, I perish. You know, if this comes my way, or if something happens that I get diagnosed with something that's not good, we hold on to the promise, you know, hey, I know God's going to heal me, but if he don't, I know where I'm going.
Right.
I think that's the tenacity that the church and the people of God have to have. I feel like sometimes we always want the greatest of everything at once. We want the now and now. We want the McDonald's, Burger King, have it your way. We want all these things now and want Jesus in the end, but sometimes it's the trials and tribulations in our life, the things that we go through, the fire, the sharpening, you know, going through the purification process. And I mean, that to me sometimes seems so hard, but it is the best for us, because, you know, when we're being sharpened, it doesn't feel good sometimes.
Amen.
When you're laying on the altar, I've heard this old preacher used to preach this message called "Pickle Me, Lord." He says when I'd lay on the altar and let the God just pickle me, he said it ain't fun. He says when that vinegar begins to soak into the pickle, he said it starts to hurt. You know, if you ever poured vinegar on an open wound, it hurts.
Yeah. Oh, because do they like? Do they make cuts in the pickle, like holes in there?
Or it'll soak it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some people are. But you just think about that. You just laying there. Lord, just it sometimes hurts when he begins to dig those things out. And when you watch how the ram's horn's being made and how it makes that awesome sound, I mean, they have to put this thing in, boil it, pull out the meat, and they're digging in there, pulling it all out until they get it all out. And then they're left with this hollow piece of horn, and then they have to drill on a piece on the end of it to make it all nice, and then they have to sand it down, and then they have to polish it and all this stuff, and then it makes this beautiful sound. And man, if you were that ram's horn, you're like, I don't like this. But I mean, that's what I love about how good God is. He's like, he don't just throw things at you at first and says, here's $1 million. You just got born again.
He knows what we're gonna do with it.
He's never done that for you.
oh man, here's your wife, your car, and your house, and everything at once. You know, he knows that you're not able, and your character will only keep
you.
As far as I mean, your where you're going is how far your character will take you.
Yeah, amen.
I mean, integrity and building up things and being content with what God has already given you and blessed you with. And now people are like, well, I've already went through a whole lot of stuff. I've already been through so much of my life. Why would I want to give my heart to the Lord and trust him again? And you have to go through more stuff. I was like, well, in the beginning, you were things were being attacked in your life that he was preparing you for that. But when you accept him, he's going to turn that around.
Right.
There's going to be a different trial and tribulation. It's not to destroy you, but it's to build you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All the other stuff you went through was to destroy you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the enemy was trying to take you out.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted you to, he came to kill, steal, and destroy you. So God's going to take your mess that you went through before, and he's going to say, look, in those times that you were going through that, I was protecting you. Yeah. You didn't even know it.
It becomes your testimony.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's how do we defeat the enemy? What does it say? We'll defeat him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Amen.
It didn't say by the blood of the Lamb and $1 million and a house and car and all these other things that God's given me.
Strategy.
No, it come from the testimony of how good God is. And even when you don't think sometimes that, why am I going through what I'm going through? God says, because I'm taking you to places that if you didn't go through this, you couldn't make it through this.
Yeah.
If you didn't have this encounter, and maybe it doesn't even look like it, but the encounter that you're going through now, God's taking you to your destiny through that. And it don't seem like that sometimes, because it seems like, why am I facing this trial? But God says, I'm using that trial to get things out of you for you to be able to ready to go to the next season.
Oh, no, you're good. I didn't get a comment towards this, but this is really just, it's so on point. And I'm sitting here thinking about how there's so much confirmation in what we're talking about, because almost literally copy and paste what some conversations I've had with people yesterday.
Amen.
Like what word for word, like about the contentment and about, you know, but I love the way that that was just worded, as far as I was thinking about the fallen world that we're in, and we have to go through the stuff either way. Yeah. Like, that's the thing, is like, we can't really judge whether somebody's a believer or not from the outside, like immediately, because a believer can be going through stuff and an unbeliever can be going through stuff, you know, but I love what you said. One is destroying a path of destruction, and one is a path of life.
Yeah.
And it literally keeps every single day getting closer and closer and closer to what God has for us, which is becoming more like him. So it's like more and more life each day, more and more wisdom each day, more and more healing each day, more and more deliverance. And then the other path is like you're slowly dying more and more each day.
I keep thinking of that. What profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
Wow.
How could you sit there and want everything the world has to offer and give up your soul for that? Like, in the end, like, for a temporal season of having everything, would you trade that off for eternity in torture and in hell that God never wanted you to go to?
And how many people are doing that? How many people are doing that, making that trade?
Even the ones that call themselves believers, too.
Yeah.
How many pastors across America? And I know I'm being critical again, but how many pastors in America is like, just give me more, give me more, give me more. I need more money. I said, for what? Why do you need millions and millions of dollars, 2 jets, a mansion, 5 cars, a Lamborghini? I'm not saying that's horrible, but why do you need it?
Yeah.
What is it for? Is it for the kingdom? If it's for the kingdom and God says that, I'm all for it. But you can't tell me that God wants you to drive 5 Lamborghinis and watch 2 or 3 people down a road starving to death and you don't want to feed them.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
And I said, I just have a hard time with that. I'm sorry. I'm just not that kind of guy. I think if God's blessed you with millions and millions of dollars, it's not for you. It's for you to pass through to be able to do the kingdom work.
Everything is passed through.
Passed through.
Everything. He pours out to go out.
Yeah.
It goes through. It goes through. And we all have to remind ourselves of that. You know, no matter what we have, what God has given us, whether it's financial things or family or, you know, opportunities, just a radio station, whatever.
Yeah.
It's all to do his work.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
I love stuff like that. I love how God is, he's so good. And I think that sometimes even if it's the brother down the road, I think somebody always think how God tries to work and sometimes it's just through the littlest things, you know. And I always said that, I wish I could remember that scripture, but It was the one, all these people gave these things, but the woman gave all that she had.
Yeah. Yes.
And that was more than all everybody else. And it may not have even been much. She gave just a little bit. She gave all that she had.
Yeah.
And these others were given out of their surplus.
Yeah.
Mm. And God said, that's good, but that's not what she gave everything.
Don't you think she realized that everything was from the Lord?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm. Yeah.
And if we could just approach our whole lives, our every day, that this is, you know, this is the day the Lord has made. And if we can just approach everything in our lives as, man, this is, we're trophies of His grace every single day.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
We were purchased.
Yes. We bought. Bought with a price.
The price.
I mean, He even said our lives are what, laying our lives down is a reasonable service. I mean, just, that's the least that we could do.
Yeah. Amen. So. Well, it's good to be back. I don't know how far y'all have got yet in the conversation. Pastor Darren's just probably hopped in here. He's just part of the family here. My hero. It's so good to see you.
I rolled my eyes so many times.
but I don't know where I've been in chapel. It was a great little time with those kids, and I just love our kids. I love our teenagers and our little ones, and just a blessing to be able to go over there. But Pastor Darren, I know the Lord is just so stirring your heart for evangelism.
He is.
And you know, I'm seeing this like, and as pastor to pastor, it's like we're told to stay in our lane. Like we're supposed to just shepherd hearts and shepherd life. And we do. Like I know you do that with a heart just like my. But I see so many pastors just burning for evangelism right now.
Right.
And I think even if we have the pastor's heart, even that's where God's called us, Paul tells us everyone wants to do the work of an evangelist.
Amen.
So what's that look like for you? And you just share your heart on the evangelism.
And I appreciate that because I think that someone said, you know, don't always or really probably never ask God to bless what you're doing, but rather see what He's blessing and become a part of that because that's His movement, right?
Yeah.
And it's not ours. It goes right back to y'all's discussion yesterday or day before, whenever that was, that we don't serve the Lord, do for the Lord, and we're talking about it this morning as well, but rather serve with Him. Like, what is He doing? And what I see Him doing right now is just this urgency in bringing people to Him. This urgency. I just see Him saving folks left and right in crazy ways. And I say crazy in an amazing kind of way. I probably shouldn't be amazed at what the Lord does, but man, he is blowing my mind. Just the ways that he is doing that. And so that's my heart right now is that, Aaron. Again, another discussion here a while back, and I think you were saying it, but it may have been Hannah, it could have been any of us, but was saying, you know, I want to present Him with souls. That's the deal, and part of our equipping, part of the church, all of that is to, as pastors, as leaders, pour into folks, you know what I mean? We're to equip the saints, and part of that equipping is giving testimony, like, man, here's what God is doing, and I can't do this. I can't strategize for it. I can't create wins. And you know, we do approach things, I think, at times as pastors, as leaders, as churches, to create wins, right?
Yeah.
Like, man, we're going to set the table. We know the Lord's doing it and all of that, but we can really strategize and those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's power in that. That's led by the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that we don't plan and those kind of things. I think we're supposed to. But what I'm seeing the Lord doing right now is just going, watch, I'm going to show up here. I'm going to show up and I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And if you'll just listen to me, if you'll just be open, if you'll be expecting, and He doesn't need my expectancy, He doesn't need my faith, He doesn't need anything from me, right? But He invites us to join Him in this work. So my heart, the question was, what's on my heart right now? My heart is the Samaritan woman at the well, and Jesus encounters her. The disciples have gone into a town, he encounters her unexpectedly. Everything was unexpected. I mean, not for him, but for her, for the disciples. They come by and like, what are you doing? You know, and it was unexpected for her. He sends, you know, Jesus comes into her life. She goes into the same town the disciples were in. They didn't tell anybody about mm-hmm. Jesus. They didn't bring a soul out to him. But she goes and says, I know a guy. You know what I mean? I know this guy. I know this guy. And that's kind of been my theme lately, not just to play on words, you know, but time after time after time in my life in the last 2 months, but it really several weeks, the Lord has just put folks in my path that awesome. I get to go, you know what? I know a guy who can help with that.
Come on.
You know what I mean? I know a guy. His name's Jesus. Let me tell you about him. Amen. And so it's just been an everyday sort of thing. And that's what I see the Lord doing right now. So that's what I wanted to ask. Like, if we're not to go, Lord, here's what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Would you bless this?
Yeah.
But rather we'd go, Lord, what are you blessing that I get to be a part of, that you're inviting me to be a part of? So that's the question I wanted to pose. What do you see the Lord blessing right now? Because I've got story after story, you know what I mean? But I value the people of God doing kingdom work and our spiritual eyes going, man, Lord, look at what you're doing. Thanks for letting me be a part of what you are doing. So what do you see in the Lord?
Well, if let's push a little bit harder on that, because I think we've had this conversation a little bit, but to unpack it farther.
Yeah.
As I think some people in their walk, they're waiting for this burning bush epiphany.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh gosh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
And until that epiphany comes, they're doing nothing.
Yeah.
And what I hear you saying is the Lord is doing so many things right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many things the Word of God itself gives us to do.
Yes, yes.
That we don't really need a burning bush.
Right.
Like, you know, and I think we're just waiting for that encounter, that moment. And I'm like, the Lord's already told us what to do. He's literally given us a book full of, and I'm not saying it's not important for God to speak, but it's like, we know that we are to pray for the sick. We know that we are to give drink to those who are thirsty. We know that we're supposed to love our enemy. We know that we're supposed to persuade men. We know.
Yes.
So instead of waiting, like, where am I going to end up at? And I know I say this a lot, but like, don't you dare go to Africa if you're first not going to go to your neighbor's house.
Right.
Like, don't even think about it. Like, and what I hear you saying, and I love this, is that there's not a question to what can I do. It's a question, why are you not already doing what God's already called you to do? Like, stop thinking, well, I want this, I want that, and then saying, God bless me. No, like, Lord, you have set the path.
Yeah.
I'm just going to walk in it now.
Yeah.
And you will bless it.
Yeah. And if we'll look at that just every day. So I shared this testimony a lot over the last week. So on Facebook, the Lord led me to share it in a message on the Holy Spirit Sunday. I've shared it at River Crossing Church. Just, I mean, the Lord just done this, but it's just watching that sort of thing. Like, here's what the Lord's doing in the everyday. So the other day, my wife had been to Women of Joy, and then she was down in Florida visiting her family. We're going last Thursday to meet them halfway in Cullman, Alabama, to pick my wife up and her family, sister-in-law, or sister and brother-in-law. We're bringing her up, and we're meeting in Cullman, Alabama. Well, my daughter, Shelby, and my son, Chance, and my grandson, Stephen, were getting to go with me. Short of the story is, and I'll make it really short, a brother, Mike Pacente, prayed with me that morning. He knew we were going, and he prayed this simple prayer, man. He texted me, and he said, I pray that the Lord will put someone in your path along the way that you'll be able to bless today, right? Well, great prayer. I've been praying every day, Lord, let me lead somebody to Jesus today. Would you just let me lead somebody to Jesus? That's it, you know, and I've been expecting that, like, every day. Lord, just let me lead somebody to you. That's it, your glory. So, sure, the story is he prays that prayer. They get delayed on the interstate 3.5 hours sitting, which is really, really hard on my sister-in-law. She has a lot of health problems, those sort of things. So it was a trial for them. Hard, hard thing. But what that did was give us time going down, right, to do different things, to be different places, whatever. So short of the story is that gave us time at Bass Pro Shop, and I'm never passing a Bass Pro Shop if I can. And that just, you know, that there's the Holy Land and there's there, and I'm going, you know. So anyway, I meet a guy named Larry there at the checkout there. And I'm just like, man, every day's a gift, brother. You know, every day's a gift. And he's like, yeah, it is. Jesus saved my life when I was a baby. And I'm like, tell me about that. And so right there at the counter, he had cancer when he was a baby. So I've got this whole story. We're praying there, all of that, right? So Mike prayed, put someone in his path that he can be a blessing to, right? That I could be blessed as well. So we meet Larry, praying for Larry. He works at Bass Pro in Nashville, Tennessee, and he tells people about Jesus because Jesus saved his life as a baby, right? Going down, my sister-in-law wanted some apples from a particular orchard in Coleman, Alabama that we had seen before. She texts, they can't get there. Will you go by and get the apples? We go. Sure, the story is a lady named Linda Steele owns this orchard, and she's an older lady. I saw for sale sign when we came in. The Lord just showed it to me. So anyway, I'm like, man, you've gotten to bless a lot of people through these years, so forth and so on. And she said, I have. I've watched children bring their children to this orchard, you know, and grow up, and et cetera, et cetera. And she started crying. And she's like, you know, my health is failing. We're having to sell. I've owned it since 1985. And so we got to pray with her. Linda's still our new friend, right? We got to pray with her and just bless her. And we're still praying for her, you know, in this life transition. Then we end up in a coffee shop in Coleman, still waiting on them. My daughter, Shelby, who's a pastor, almost didn't tell me the name of the coffee shop because it was Karma Coffee. And she's like, man, Dad ain't going into no Karma Coffee, I'm telling you right now. But it's only one open, so let's go. I was joking with my grandson. I said, we should plant a church up in this coffee shop. You know, I'm joking, right? Sort of joking. Uh-huh. And we go in there. Sure, the story is there's some folks that are getting ready to play some music in this coffee shop. So we're talking to them, and we're like, hey, what kind of music are you playing? Oh, we're a church, and we come in here on Thursdays, and we have worship. And we're like, dang, that's awesome. We're from Kentucky. We're church planters, blah, blah, blah. I'm originally from Texas. The pastor who flies in from Texas to Coleman, Alabama for this thing, he's done that a lot of places anyway. He's like, hey, I'm from Texas. And we start talking. We grew up in the same area. It's so weird. We're in Coleman, Alabama. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And so short of that story is he gives me his, at one point he says, well, he'd been in Kentucky studying in Louisville. I mean, there's all these connections. And I said, well, what's your name? I'm Darren. And he told me his name. And he said, my name is Ron Teal. Well, that doesn't mean a lot to you, but it means a lot to me because my backstory is I was adopted when I was a child. I didn't know my biological father for 55 years till 3 years ago. And the Lord, in a miraculous way, connected us. And I find out that he's a church planter. My grandfather was a pastor and church planter. It's just this crazy good kind of, y'all were talking about Hallmark stories and all that. It's like one of those, right? And so anyway, short of it is, so we're in Coleman, Alabama. Here's this pastor from Texas named Ron Teal. And when he said Ron Teal, I said, almost fell down. I said, what's your name? And I said it like that, and he's like Ron Teal. I said, how do you spell that last name? And he told me, T-E-A-L. Well, here's the short of the story. Here's the incredible thing. My dad's name, my original name, is Teal, and my father's name is Ron Teal, who's from Texas, a church planter, et cetera, et cetera. And here's this guy from Texas, a church planter. And the Lord put us together in Coleman, Alabama, at a coffee shop that we weren't even supposed to be at, but we were.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so the story just goes on and on. We come back 4 o'clock in the morning on Friday. We're in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, because we're dropping off our rental car. We're like, man, did we get something to eat? I just want to get home. It's been a long day. But Denny's is open. We're like, we'll go in and get some food. We to take home. We go in there 4 o'clock in the morning. the lady who's waiting on us is like, well, my shift is over. I'm going to pass you off to someone else. But she says, do you recognize me? And I'm like, I'm not sure that I do. And my wife did. Turns out she's the mother of one of our youth that we had at one of our previous churches. And she's testifying that, hey, I've been clean for 3 years now. Wow. She'd been in and out of jail, all this stuff. Her daughter had gone off the rails. This girl was full of the Holy Spirit when we knew her, but she'd gone off the rails. She'd gotten on drugs, been in jail, lost one of her children to the system. She has that child back now. She's been clean for 2 years, all of that. So here we are, getting this testimony at 4 o'clock in the morning in Denny's in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, after that whole day of the Lord just going boom, 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 boom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I just say all of that to say this, that's what the Lord is doing. That's what I see Him doing. And that is every one of us. That's you, that's you, that's all of us. If we will just pay attention, right? If we'll be willing to go, you know what? That lady, that Samaritan woman, man, she just went into town and said, I know a guy. This guy told me everything about me. You got to come see him.
Amen.
And what if we just every single day, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to be an expert. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to have all that. So that's what I see the Lord doing right now with anyone who is a follower of Jesus, whatever your age, whatever, you know, background you have, all that. If you know Jesus, if you know him, you can go, I know a guy.
Amen.
I know a guy. And man, story after story, that's just the latest, but man, he is just saving folks.
Amen.
Oh man.
He orders exciting. Our steps, don't he?
He does. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I've really enjoyed whenever you're able to tune into the prayer with us on Wednesdays, you've had prayer requests for people that are just people that you've met, like remembered my new friend, whatever their name is, you know, I just met and they want to give their heart to Jesus pray that they will give their heart to Jesus. Like, it's just so encouraging, and I think that we should do that too, is call on each other to pray for these new people that God puts in our
absolutely. Path. Absolutely. And we try not to do, I call them drive-by salvations, right? Like, you know, we're just driving by. Okay, man, you're saved. Boom. Okay, later, find a church. You know what I mean? Like, try and we can't connect with everyone in those deep ways. We do obviously try to disciple folks, but it's not all about us, right? No. But we are praying for my new friend Larry, right? Now these radio listeners are praying for Larry, Linda Steele, Ron Teal, and that ministry that's going on. And my sister Ricky, this young lady who went off the rails, but the Lord's brought her back. So hallelujah. You know, and so we can do that. And no drive-by salvations. You know what I mean? Okay, boom, 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 boom. No. But the Lord does connect us with folks for those
drive by
kind of
busy
reasons.
Street throwing tracks at people,
like Ninja Star.
But you know, I love, because I get to spark a little bit, and I get to meet people that you know it's pretty awesome how God's opened up doors for me to be able to pray for people. And I there's this couple that I down the road here they came 2 weeks ago. I haven't been able to see them because I've been busy doing other things.
Sure.
I felt bad. I've been feeling bad. Like, they were looking and say, hey, Jacob invited us to come. And they were from another state, and they came and moved here. And I'm like, oh, I keep praying for them. You know, hey, maybe they'll come back, because I don't have their information. I didn't, you know. And you think about stuff like, oh, man, I wish I was here, because they asked a couple other members here of the church if they said, Jacob invited us, and here I am. I'm either playing drums or I'm in the nursery. And I wasn't able to get with them. So if Kathy and Dale's listening, I've been praying for you guys, and I'm hoping
That's
to
awesome.
See you all again soon. So.
There you go. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And sometimes it's the long game, right? Sometimes it's what I call it, the long game. So I was hearing a testimony over, it was with a group of pastors the other day. And we were just sharing. We're in Lexington a couple of days ago, and at a preacher's meeting, and I was sharing these same kind of things. Well, I get a call, and I won't always take the call, you know what I mean? But I feel like, well, I need to take this. So I step out, and The call wasn't that important. It was someone needing a number. But there's a homeless lady in the restaurant that had come in out of the rain. So I step out, and I just wave to her. Like, I just, you know, I'm on the phone, and I wave to her. And when I get off the phone, she said, "Are you the manager?" I'm like, "No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm a follower of Jesus. That's my only title. I'm a follower of Jesus." And she's like, "Well, I thought you were the manager, and you're going to kick me out of here." And I'm like, "Nope, but I would love to talk to you." And so we sit down again. New friend Sharon. She's homeless. She's in Lexington, but we were able to pray with her, talk to her about Jesus. And at one point, she said, "I said, I'm not talking about church. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about Jesus. Right? I know a guy. You know, I know this guy, and he can help you." And at one point, I asked her. I said, "So where are you with Jesus?" Because she was like, "I was up in church, and you know all that." And she said, "Well, I guess he's secondary." And I said, "Oh, okay. Well, he wants to be primary. You know what I mean? Like, he wants to be primary." And so, again, it's those kind of things. So the odds of me seeing her, Sharon, again, not really good. But there's a whole bunch of folks that are praying for Sharon right now. Amen. And she asked the Lord to help her, and praise Amen. God, you know. So
Amen.
If we would just take the – and as pastors and leaders, if we could equip the church – right? Like, we're to equip folks. And I think that's the drum I've been beating lately is, look, this is just happening. This is what the Lord is doing.
Amen.
So be a part of it. Mm. Like, just be a part of it. Be open. Talk to folks. Yeah. You don't have to have all the answers. Pray for people, you know, and be consistent. Yeah. Like, you know, the folks at Five Star or wherever, they know, man, I'm going to come in and get some coffee or whatever, and I'm going to bless them. I'm going to talk to them. Yeah. So I can call their names because they have name tags, right? And just like, you know, how's this day is a gift, man. Yeah. Live the gift, and let me tell you how.
You know, we got about 1 or 2 minutes here. Yeah. I did the bread route before Jacob did. And I have people that, like when I go to a Five Star in Litchfield or something like that,
yeah, yeah.
they remember and they'll talk to me. And yeah. a lot of them was like, you know, I had the opportunity to really build some really good relationships and get to yep. really be like, get to witness.
Sure.
And sometimes they caught me on bad days. So they saw that, hey, I'm not perfect either. Yeah. You know, it's just like, but yeah. I think that a lot of times, like I was at the gym the other day and a young man came up to me, probably a couple years younger than me. And he said, "You used to be the bread guy, wasn't you?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, and he started talking to me. He said, "I thought you looked familiar." And then he said, "So what are you doing now?" I said, "Man, I get to pastor now for a living." And he goes, "That is amazing." And we ended up having this whole conversation about yeah. the Lord. And his name is Zach. And I'm like, "I'm going to pray for you, Zach." And,
yeah.
and so it's like these conversations are everywhere.
That's Amen. Church, man.
It's
That's
just church everywhere. Right
there. Ain't that the joy, though?
Man.
It brings joy.
Yes, yes.
It just There's Hallelujah. Something about it.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
And you inspire other people.
Yeah.
Other people yeah. are seeing that. And I've noticed, like, in my own life, as my kids are seeing me witness to waitresses and pray with them,
yes.
they're more apt. Like, my Amen. Little girl shared the gospel with somebody at the pool in the vacation this summer. Like,
Hallelujah,
and she was like,
man.
"I've been baptized." Heather, my little daughter Eliza, goes, "That doesn't matter. Like, do you know Jesus?"
Yeah.
Like, like, she's 9 years man. Old in the pool on vacation witnessing this other little 9-year-old girl.
I love it.
And it's just like, that's it. Come on. Like,
yeah, let's
you know,
go, man.
And so I just honor you, Pastor Darren. I yes, honor you tremendously. You, I love you. And you're my hero. And
watch the eye roll.
when I grow up, I'll be like Pastor Darren. Yeah. That's my
better
goal.
That's better than the eye roll emoji.
Yeah, yeah.
If you ever feel beat down, just come around Aaron. He'll build you right back up.
I will, Pastor Darren.
I love that, brother.
I will, Pastor
Not
Darren.
Not for that reason. I just love it. I don't know what our time is.
You're good.
Are y'all doing the prayer line today, Hannah?
Yeah.
You'd be that. I'm probably gonna call in, but I'm gonna ask y'all and listeners, would you be in prayer? So my son Chance, my daughter Shelby, and her husband have a family gathering church in E-Town. My son Chance, who is deaf, is a deaf pastor. and has launched Family Gathering Deaf Church Online. Here's a short of the story. They are heading to Chicago, Illinois this weekend to attend a conference called Deaf Nation. It's an expo. It's like a trade show for deaf people from all over the United States. They went to one in Columbus a few weeks ago, but they go to share the gospel. They go to they have a booth for Family Gathering Deaf Church, and it's online, and they're going to encounter a lot of deaf people at this, and that's going to be on Saturday, so they're leaving Friday. And so I'm just asking folks to be in prayer. The most unreached people group in the United States is the deaf community.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I thought it would be Native Americans, honestly. But
no, but I actually heard that statistic the other day. I actually heard that statistic the other day.
Yeah. So Chance and others are working for that, but they're heading to Chicago Saturday, or you know, they'll be there Saturday. So I would just love if you guys don't mind praying and lifting that up.
Well, we're over time, but I'm gonna pray. If we can't stop and praise the radio station, we're missing the mark.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Lord, we ask you to anoint, give favor to Chance, give favor to this ministry, Lord. Lord, we ask you over the deaf community, Lord, that you would raise up more and more with the ability to share the gospel, Lord. And Lord, some say, well, why can't they just read? They don't read a lot of them. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to pronounce the words, or they don't know how to do this. And Lord, so I just ask you, Father, that you would reach into their lives, God, that you would show them, you would raise up vessels, you would raise up people, God, that can communicate the gospel, Lord, and that they may hear the good news that brings salvation, Lord. We bless them. We ask your hedge of protection about them. We ask you for great empowerment and a great anointing for such a day as this. And Lord, we just thank you for revival in the deaf community, that there's going to be many evangelists raised up across the spectrum, Lord. And we just thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Pastor Darren, love you. Thank you so much for coming on. We're out of here for the day, and we'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio.